Frank's been taking lessons from Eric. He figures somebody's going to run away with this microphone, so I don't know. We wrap it around, and then when I want to take it off, I got to go and do a, I got to take a, what's that, a cowboy course to learn how to undo that thing. That's, see, you see what's happened here is that Frank wants to be on the worship team. He wants to be a cowboy. There's all kinds of things going on, but he's a plumber. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 69. Good to have each of you here this morning. If you're visiting, maybe it's just first time you've been here at a Breaking of Bread service. You sort of say, well, don't you preach every week? Well, I probably do a few kinds of things like that, but really, this is an opportunity where the men of our local church, growing disciples, learning to express themselves, have an opportunity to share the things that they've been meditating upon. And it's meant to be a mutual encouragement for each of us as we get into the Word. So there's no real formality. There's going to be a little bit of a pause from time to time. Got to remember, it's a little bit of a challenge if you're not used to standing up in front of people and talking with them. So then you may feel, oh, I'm not sure. I want to share something. I've been reading something, but I'm not sure if I want to do that. And then again, you sort of say, yeah, I'm ready to do it, but I want somebody else to go first. You know what I'm talking about, right? All these kinds of things that go through your mind. I'm not going up there first. So I'm here first, okay? So there you go. Psalm 69. Last week, we were in the book of Romans. We talked about the matter of faith, how important it is. The psalmist in Psalm 69 is a man of faith. It's attributed to David, and yet this psalm is likely quoted numerous times in different contexts in the New Testament. We're going to look at a couple of them, but right now, we're just going to read a few verses. And we're gonna go down there to about verse 15, 16, somewhere in there. I got to get my Bible open. Thank you, Frank, for leading the service and worship team. Thank you for the ministry and song. Thank you, Herta, Rita, Sophia, for the lovely music. It ministers to our hearts. Thank you for doing that with us this morning. So here we are. We're here to break bread. Maybe you can identify with the psalmist. Maybe the week has not quite turned out the way that you had hoped. Does it ever? You're always faced with challenges that you weren't quite expecting. There's no such thing as easy peasy, as I was alluding to in our ABF this morning. Verse 13, but I pray to you. I pray to you in the time of your favor. To be here this morning is to be here in the time of God's favor. He wants you to come and break bread, to commune with God, with His Son, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. It's somewhat awe, I'm in awe that God would ask me to do that. And I would say that the measure to which I know God is only to the measure that I've come to understand His Word. I really don't know God that well. I'm learning. I'm in His Word every day, and I'm being prayerful about it, but I have to tell you that I'm in awe that He would want me to come and break bread with Him. And I believe the psalmist, if it's David, would say the same thing. He says, what is man that you're mindful of him over there in Psalm 8? And that you would have us be created in your image and then to actually come and have, well, the meal is incidental. The issue here, the time here, is about your heart being in tune with God's heart. In your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. As Sophia was singing, deliver me. The psalmist says here, rescue me. Verse 14, from the mire, do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Maybe you've experienced that this week. Maybe you've been attacked or someone has said some things that were hurtful. Maybe you were the one who said some things that were hurtful. Whether you're on the receiving end or the giving end, the issue is the psalmist is certainly saying that you need some deliverance. Do not let the floodwaters engulf me or the depths swallow me up or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, out of the goodness of your love. And to break bread is really to experience the goodness of the love of God, to actually give thought to it, to conscientiously bow your heart, to be in tune with the one who loves you more than you can possibly understand. In your great mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me, redeem me because of my foes. Now we were looking somewhat inward here. Now let's maybe think about the cross and maybe wonder for a moment if the Lord Jesus wasn't in fact very familiar with this psalm. We say, well, of course, he's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows every thought. But there was a sense in which he had limited himself. And I wonder if he didn't need to memorize it. I wonder if he didn't need to get to know God intimately the way that you and I do. You say, well, he always knew his Father intimately, but I think that there's a sense of him learning. And I don't know. I wonder. And I wonder if he went to this passage and he thought about these words, come near and rescue me, redeem me because of my foes. You know how I'm scorned, disgraced, and shamed, and my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. If you want to put a passage next to this, is put down Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. I looked for sympathy, but there was none, for comforters, and I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. They did that literally for our Savior. But it's the same Savior who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I wonder if you understand that you're here today and you come to grips with the fact that much of what you do is not always with some conscious. You're not conscious of the love of God. You're not conscious that sometimes your responses are hurting. But you're here now and you're appealing to God. Say, Lord, you know all about me. You know that I'm actually a broken person. Maybe I'm not as broken as I should be, but I'm confessing that I am, and I need you. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we ask you to bless our efforts as we seek to share and mutually encourage one another, as we open your word, as we pray. The wonder of who you are is beyond our human comprehension. Yes, we need your wonderful love, your deep love for us. We need your grace and your forgiveness, your acceptance of us in the midst of our frailty, our inability to keep all of our relationships healthy. We actually have to go to one another. So often, Lord, you see it and confess we failed again. But you never tire of us realizing that. And then you remind us that you love us. Thank you for that. We need that more than we know. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth today as we break bread. May each one have their hearts in tune with you. May we realize that we are brothers and sisters in Christ seeking to approach your throne of grace in our time of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just invite the men to come up and share a few thoughts. I'll bring you back to Psalm 69 and I'll share a couple of those thoughts there with you.
I'd like to read from 1 Peter, starting at chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that you've revealed to us, that you've preserved for us, that we can read, take to heart. There's so much in this passage here. There's so many topics that come up out of this passage. Lord, just want to thank you for your suffering, that you went to the cross willingly. You gave your life. No one took it from you. You laid it down. You did it so that so that I could be with you, so that everyone here, so that all who believe in you could be with you for all eternity. Lord, I want to thank you for that. Thank you that, your grace is sufficient for me. Would you continue to bless our time together in Jesus' name? Amen.
Get you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. I'll start reading at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so grateful for your willingness to give your life so that we could be free. Thank you that we can come before you, not because of what we've done, but because of what you've done for us, and that we can approach your throne of grace. Help us to be mindful of that every day. Help us to realize that in and of ourselves, we can do absolutely nothing, but it's only as we trust you, as we depend on you. I pray that we will do that every day. Help us to be faithful. Just thank you for this great opportunity here this morning to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shocking, touching this microphone. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I've read this here a few times, but it doesn't get old for me, so. Start in verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you've made it so clear. Thank you that you've preserved your word for us so that we can understand it and have the assurance that you've done everything that we need for us to have eternal life. And also giving us work to do here, Lord. Help us to do that faithfully. Help us to honor you with our lives. Thank you for this opportunity to be together here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Paul, throughout the New Testament, if you think of Galatians and Ephesians and many of the other ones, from letters from Paul, he was speaking a lot about unity. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. And I was thinking this week, or speaking to somebody at work this week, about these things and how life is full of choices and how it's not a guarantee that we'll always do the right thing, but it's about us continually choosing the good over the bad. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if somebody is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." So this is the idea that we can all fall. We're all broken people, encouraging and working with each other. Nobody has it all together. This verse here, in the next verse, it says, if anybody thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. They should test their own actions. How often do we tend to think about and test our actions, whether we're doing things for the right reasons? And it says, each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to somebody else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. And it talks about next, it talks about reaping what you sow. Working out, doing things in your life, you're going to reap goodness and for doing good. And it says in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. And just thinking about this, it's this week and how we should be living our lives and choosing the good and thinking about our motives and why we do what we do. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. And help us to look inward at our motives and our actions and why we do what we do, and help us to see where we're wrong and in the mirror of your word, and choose to do the good and change our minds, and help us to continually grow through this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Turn your Bibles to John chapter 2. We are talking about righteous anger, and we just want to read this little section here. Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, and he's into Jerusalem there, and it was the Passover, and I'll just read from verse 13. It says, now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. And then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? And Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. And so I like how Jesus related this to the heart. And the issue was the heart of these people that were doing these things, and the idea that our life is to be a temple to the Lord, a place where God can come and live. And would we turn our heart and our lives into a place that isn't a place that God could dwell? So just a reminder for us to keep our lives a place where we are in fellowship with God, and where we can serve him, and that our lives are a temple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can read your word, and Lord, that it can teach us. And we just thank you for Jesus and his example in how to live. And Lord, help us to be, first of all, angry at the things that we allow ourselves to become and to do. And Lord, help us to be careful to walk in rightness with you, Lord. I just pray that you would help us to do that from day to day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go back to Psalm 69. Thank you for sharing, fellows. The passage that Nat just shared was one of the ones that I was going to allude to here this morning. And take a breath. Take a pause, take a breath, and just reflect a little bit. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. The psalmist saw the works of God. David witnessed. David is the author. He clearly witnessed two sides to God. He saw the mercy, the grace, the love, the forgiveness of God. Little did he know or completely understand that his son, that God the Father would send his son, that he would give his son. David would experience the giving of a couple of sons, but it wasn't the way his heavenly Father gave the sons. And David wasn't really thinking that he was going to be giving sons, as Ammon was murdered by Absalom and Absalom would be murdered by Joab. What a story. What an up and down roller coaster. Whew. My life isn't anything like that. But you are also experiencing the grace of God, maybe in ways that you can't quite understand today. Maybe you look back and you say, it's not been so bad. It's good. I would encourage you to come to the foot of the cross and to stay there where mercy flowed, where the Son cried out to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Psalmist had likely no real clear understanding of the cross. Come down to verse 30. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. How much am I going to do that? How much is coming out of me? How much am I pouring out to God in praise and thanksgiving? This will please the Lord more than taking out a mortgage. I didn't see any of you bringing your ox in here today. What's that going for, $5-6 a pound right now? Well, you'd have to take out a loan to get an ox in here. Sure glad you didn't bring any. No, praising God's name and glorifying him with thanksgiving, that will please the Lord more. More than a bull with its horns and hoofs. Of course, the poor will see and be glad. We don't need to take out a mortgage after all. You mean God accepts each and every one of us? Absolutely. I don't have a lot to offer God, but I can offer him praise. I can thank him. What should I thank him for today? Let me think about that. Oh, yeah, I blew it earlier in the week. I said some hurtful things. Sure glad I was able to talk to God about that. Then I was able to confess it to the person whom I hurt. I'm glad that they forgave me, but on the other hand, we don't always experience that. And in fact, there's times when we don't experience forgiveness from others. But be assured of this, you are forgiven by God. In marriage, premarital and marriage ceremonies that I do, I always say something like this: be the first to confess. Be the first to forgive. God wants to confess you before his Father. This is my son. This is my daughter. He is quick to forgive you as you recognize who you are in light of who he is. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. May your hearts live. This is more than the beating of your heart. This is about joy. This is about intimacy with God. This is about knowing God and being assured by God and being confident in God, even though you recognize how frail you are and how messed up you are at times. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them, for God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. Did you know there's a new heaven and a new earth? And God will fulfill his promises. The people will settle there and possess it, and the children and his servants will inherit it. And those who love his name will dwell there. I think we're going to be there with the nation of Israel, with the people of God throughout time in heavenly Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I can hear the song, can you? Bless the Lord, O my soul. See, I can't be on the worship team, Frank, wherever you are. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Since never before, oh, my soul, your holy name. Those of you who are coming to serve this morning, if you'd come up at this time, we'll give thanks for the cup. Thanks for the loaf. We'll pass it from one to another, just like a family. You'll be passing the loaf to a brother or sister in Christ who represent the body of Christ. And as you pass it from one to another, would you pray for that person next to you? Just whisper. Just, Lord, would you bless this person? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Get one of the men here to give thanks for the loaf.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you Thank you for what we've already heard, what we've read in your word, and just a reminder here of who you are and what you've done. Thank you for the bread that represents your broken body for us. Would you bless it? In Jesus' name, amen.
Writing to the Corinthians and spent a year and a half there trying to help them understand this whole matter of breaking bread together. They were first generation Christians. They never understood all that meant. It had to be explained, everything. Chances are we still need to explain it to people. And so the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord on the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"
Heavenly Father, as we think of Jesus being willing to die for us, to pay the penalty of our sin, that we could be set free by simply believing in him, that we could have eternal life, there's no words to describe how great that gift is, how great your love is. As we have partaken of the bread which symbolizes your body. I pray that you will bless the cup as well, which symbolizes your blood. Just pray that you'll bless it as we partake of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sorry, I read that a little fast the last time. I'm wondering sometimes what was the tempo that Jesus expressed the words that really spoke to the hearts of his disciples, although at the time it likely didn't speak to them quite the way that it speaks to us. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's stand together. We'll close in a word of prayer. Again, the person next to you is a person for whom Jesus died. Likely you know only so much. In fact, you'd have to admit that much of the time you wonder I'm sure glad the Lord knows me, because sometimes I look in the mirror and I don't know me. God is gracious. Thank you, Lord, for each one here this morning. Help us to value the relationships of our families, our neighbors, our co-workers. Help us to be your workmen, as we were reminded this morning. Help us to take to heart the grace that we received. May the fruit of your Spirit be evidenced in our speech, our actions, and all of our relationships. And may you receive the praise and the glory. May we lead thankful lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. I just want to mention that I have a cousin here, David and Faith Lanchier from West Bank or Kelowna. Yeah, they're here visiting. They just sort of popped in, and they actually popped in on the way out east and are on their way back. But anyway, greet people that are here. Make sure that you let them know that you love them. Yeah.